You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and joining me once again for part two of the Week 7 preview is the D.O.N. himself, Don. It is great to have you back, and we're getting right back into the groove.
How you doing?
Hey, there he is, the one, the only, the D.O.N. Guys, part one of the Week 7 preview is out. It was out Friday morning for you guys. If you've missed it, hit pause on this one, jump back, and listen to that one first. Lots of good stuff. We breeze right on through some of the early games and dive into what we really need to know. Guys, quick reminder, the Panthers, Browns, Steelers, and Buccaneers all on a bye this week. So if you do have those guys in your lineups, please get them out. And don't send us questions on them. Guys, we've already gotten a couple of fantasy questions about guys that are on byes. And unfortunately, it's something else we shouldn't have to filter through. Have at least enough foresight to realize that the answer is very clear when you send them in. We appreciate softballs, but sometimes when you're hitting home runs, it feels too good. Don, let's kick it off here with the Cardinals versus the Giants. So 1 p.m. Eastern start, and we'll start on the Cardinals side of the ball. Kyler Murray has looked fantastic. He seems to have gotten his stuff together, and he is putting up points for the Cardinals. He's making that offense as a whole better. And I know our very own Matt Rogers played him this week over Patrick Mahomes, who obviously did not know about the injury in the moment when he made that decision. But obviously lots of confidence here in Kyler.
Yeah, dude, against the Giants, it's another nice matchup for him where he should do very well.
Absolutely no concerns. Guys, if you own Kyler Murray, great matchup, and no reason that he shouldn't be in your lineups for sure. Again, short of owning someone else that's really elite that you just kind of drafted two together, Matt, as possible trade bait down the line. David Johnson, Don, was a limited participant Thursday in practice. Guys, we are recording Thursday night, so you'll have an update by the time you're listening to this on Saturday morning. But we do expect him to go here in Week 7. He'll get a great chance to extend his streak with 100 yards from scrimmage to four straight games against the Giants defense that's given up the fifth most to running backs this season, 171 per game. So, again, you own David Johnson. You're very happy with how his year has gone, especially with what you paid to draft him in round one.
For sure.
Guys, Christian Kirk, Larry Fitz at the wide receiver spots here. Tentatively expected Christian Kirk to come back with the ankle injury. He's practiced at a limited all week. He caught four passes in weeks one through four. He's probably an upside wide receiver three play, I think, here in this matchup. Giants have allowed the third most PPR per game to wide receivers lined up in the slot. That's where Christian Kirk could be. So if he is active, I think he, depending on your situation, could be a sneaky little play.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I also am cool if you look elsewhere, though, from Christian Kirk. But it's not a bad matchup to do it.
Nope, not at all. Don, what do you think about Larry Fitz here?
Yeah, you got to play him. This is the week to do it. Kyler Murray's going to have a good week. So is Fitzgerald.
100%. At least six catches in every game. Again, Giants just give up points. Second highest over-under of the week on the game. So we're expecting lots of points all around. Don, do you have anybody else on the Cardinals side of the ball?
No, we can get to the next.
Let's jump over to the Giants side of the ball, and we'll kick it off with Eli Manning Jr., a.k.a. Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes,
baby.
How you doing?
A great, great streaming option here, I think, this week. Gets a great matchup. He gets Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, and we believe Saquon Barkley back is what we're hearing as of today. Mm-hmm. Arizona's giving up the most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks and also ranked second worst in opposing passer rating. I think if you need a streamer, you need an option, Daniel Jones is a great one in Week 7.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I think there's few guys that still I will go ahead of that we've listed early, on the last cast. But sure, yeah, this is the week to do it for Danny Dimes. We've seen him have some production already, so cool.
Saquon Barkley, Don, if he's active, he's got to be in your lineups, right? There's no question.
1,000%.
Boom. Slam dunk. Sterling Shepard, considered to be questionable for Sunday, obviously, with that concussion. We kind of have to wait and see if he's active. Obviously, could draw Patrick Peterson in some shadow coverage. Peterson's never consistently chased opposing wide receivers in the slot. It's still to be seen how that may affect him. But we got to get kind of some clarity on his health before we really know where he can kind of go into lineups, unfortunately. Golden Tate, he sets up well against Tremaine Brock, who has not really been that impressive. I think Golden Tate is going to set up to have a nice little game here.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was any of those that played him last week, which would have been crazy, but it would have definitely paid off. I think you're going to see more of Golden Tate. Veteran wide receiver, has been fantasy productive every year that he's really been in the league and playing. So I think Golden Tate is a good play.
Boom, slam dunk. And Evan Engram is the slam dunk of slam dunk plays this week. Averaging 9.6 targets per game is a position high league-wide. The Cardinals have allowed 99.7 yards per game to the tight end position. Evan Engram is the play of the week.
Yeah, DFS as well. I would agree.
Don, let's pick it.
I'm going to go Giants, man.
I'm going to go Cardinals, but it's close. I really was not 100% sure on where I wanted to go. So we'll split
game of the week.
Split game one right there. Yeah, what a time to be alive, huh? Kyler Murray coming to Jersey. It's the game of the week. Rodgers is smiling from ear to ear as he listens to this. Dolphins versus the Bills, 1 p.m. Eastern start. Woof. I have nothing on the Dolphins. Ryan Fitz is back under center. That's it.
Yeah.
I have no interest in anybody. We got to see what Fitz does down there.
Also, Kenny and Drake, they've obviously said that they're now heavily starting to pursue to try to get trade options for him.
Okay. Again, and I think for that offense, you got to wait and see what happens with Fitz under the at the helm. So let's move on to the Bills side of the ball. Josh Allen, also think is a great streaming option here against the Dolphins. He's averaging 24.8 fantasy points per game across his last 11 games. That's actually more than Patrick Mahomes over that same span. He has statistically beat up on bad defenses throughout his career. He averages 29.2 points per game across 5 career games against bottom 10 fantasy defenses. Josh Allen is also, I think, a no-brainer waiver wire guy if he's on the wire.
Yeah, you play him.
Don, Frank Fleur, what do you think? I mean, he's been dependable, but he's Frank Fleur, right? He's had at least 16 touches and 65 yards in each of his last 4 games. He gets a matchup against a terrible Dolphins team that's given up the most rushing fantasy points per game to opposing running backs and 4.81 yards per carry. They may make Frank Fleur look young again.
No, I'm about Frank Gore this year. This week, this is the time to play him. Obviously, he's had already a bunch of nice games. Frank Fleur is his name, dude, and he's got another solid floor yet again this year. So expect a higher floor out of him this week.
Yeah, it's gonna be a nice little week here for Frank Fleur. There's no question. John Brown, Dolphins are bad. We like Josh Allen. I think he should be in your lineup.
Yeah, definitely.
Cole Beasley, do you feel the same?
Good question, man. Yeah, man, Beasley. I mean, if you're in a deeper league, you want to play Beasley in a flex. Again, it's the Dolphins. They're not even a pro team right now. So with Cole Beasley, this is the week to play against them. Yeah, I'm cool with rolling Beasley if you have to. There's other options out there, but it's not the worst week to play Cole Beasley in a dire need.
I'm cool with it. I mean, last week he only had 3 targets against the Titans. That week was whatever. But against New England, 13 targets, 10 targets versus the Bengals, 9 versus the Jets in week 1 against a bad Bengals. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Versus a bad Dolphins team. Bengals are also bad. I think he's a no-brain start plug-and-play option for you as well. What a time to be alive again, Don. We're recommended a bunch of Bills here. Dawson Knox is not in the tight end streaming conversation at this time.
No, skip.
But, wow, what a time to be alive. Can we sweep it through on the Bills?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's sweep it through. The Dolphins remain winless, guys. Chargers versus the Titans, 4:05 p.m. Eastern start. Let's start on the Chargers side of the ball, Don. That's your home away from home, so to call it. Phillip Rivers, your man.
I don't know about any of these guys, dude. I'm like, this is – Chargers are very underwhelming this year. Titans are like – they actually have a pretty solid defense again. Yep. I like don't know. Obviously with Melvin Gordon like trying to get the rust off. I'd Hunter Henry coming back from injury. I really don't know about any of these dudes at all. Phillip Rivers has been underwhelming. I like it's if you could just put a question mark next to all these guys, it'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, let's hit him quick. Phillip Rivers on a no go. We've talked about enough streaming options, right? He's out. Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler. I think it depends on who you need, who your other options are, but I don't think they need to be in your starting lineup. Keenan Allen.
I think I'm going to start Melgo just for the benefit of Melvin Gordon. This is his third game back.
Okay.
He needs to set up in a groove. I think I'm still playing Melvin Gordon, dude.
Okay. Keenan Allen, he spent more snaps on the outside than in the slot this season. His target volume has become an issue, right? Week one, 10 targets. Week two, 15. Week three, 17. Week four, 5. Week five, 6. Week six, 6. So with Melvin Gordon's return, his target share has fallen. We now see Hunter Henry, who is healthy, back playing. A bit concerned about Keenan Allen and his usage there. I don't know what the answer is or what's going to happen, but I don't know that this is the week where it changes for him.
I'm not sitting him, though.
No, I'm not either. You got to roll him out there, but you can't expect the world, yeah. Unfortunately. Mike Williams is he gets a ton of deep balls from Mel Rivers. They just haven't been able to consistently connect. I think that there actually may be a shot that Mike Williams has himself a nice week here. I know the Titans have gotten better. He gets Jackson and Butler, who are two of the league's full-time cornerbacks that have allowed a triple-digit QB rating this season among 77 qualified corners. That comes courtesy of Pro Football Focus. I think there's a chance he gets behind the defense there. I like him more as a DFS versus a consistent season-long option this week.
That's fine.
And Hunter Henry, look great. 66% snap rate, 9 targets, 8 for 102 touchdowns last week. I'm not expecting a repeat performance, but if you want Hunter Henry, he's in your lineup.
I agree. I think if you held on to him or if you picked him up, I think he's going into your starting lineup.
No question about it. Titans side of the ball, Don. Ryan Tannehill era begins, and I think there's nothing really super relevant. Derrick Henry is the only fantasy option on this offense. If you own him, you can play him. Even Delaney Walker, Don, is no longer fantasy viable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think you hit that on the head very well. Delaney Walker, especially being the kind of like that constant that no matter what or yep. who. But, yeah, this is the year where he's not playable. Derrick Henry is the only person I really, like, trust playing this week.
Which is crazy. But that is what it is. And you know, we've kind of blown through here the first couple games on the second half of the preview, Don. But that's just the way it's stacked up, particularly with the Dolphins here for us and the Chargers being big question marks. Let's pick this game. Which way are you going? I almost said sweep it through, but I'm not that confident.
Oh, I'm bolting up, dude.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still gonna bolt up as well. So we are gonna sweep it through right into the breakdown. Let's take a quick break, and we're coming back with Ravens versus the Seahawks for a 4:25 p.m. Eastern start.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
All right, guys, we're back. Don, let's dive right into it. Ravens, Seahawks, 4:25 p.m. kickoff. Ravens side of the ball, Lamar Jackson. It's a no-brainer start. He's been electric on the ground alone, let alone through everything else he's done. If you own him, you're starting him. End of story.
Next.
Mark Ingram.
Cool. Yeah, that's. I think we could talk a little bit more about Mark Ingram than Lamar Jackson. Although, really, you're just going to play him, right? I mean, he's having a pretty good season with Baltimore this year. Very solid floor with a very good ceiling as well. Obviously, there's only really been 2 weeks that he's had under double digits, and he's also, you know, broken into like the 30s as well. So Mark Ingram solid. Seattle's defense is mediocre. So this is a week that you roll Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've become a little concerned on Mark Ingram from the big picture, right? I think a couple of weeks ago I still was, and I just didn't think it's possible for him to keep up this incredible run he's had. You know, last week he got a bad Bengals defense, rushed 13 times for 52 yards and a touchdown, caught two passes for 22 yards. Obviously, Lamar Jackson went all over the place. 152 yards and a touchdown on 19 carries. So that took away the opportunity for Mark Ingram on the ground. Mm-hmm. I think he obviously faces a tougher matchup in the Seahawks this week. He remains a threat to get in the end zone, but I don't think you can expect any of these three touchdown, you know, performances. I think it's more closer to what you saw last week of 52 yards and a touchdown. I think is probably more realistic from what you can expect from Mark Ingram this week.
Yeah.
Hollywood Brown, Don, he starts off the week with a did not practice and I think is very questionable for Sunday. Obviously, guys, when you guys are listening to this Saturday, you're going to know or have a way better idea if he's going to go. So keep an eye on those injury reports. You can tweet us, DM us. We'll let you know what we're hearing. But right now, I don't know that he's going to go. If he doesn't go, Don, I'm not interested in any of the Ravens wide receivers. Hollywood has five games with at least five targets. The rest of the team's wideouts have a combined four such games. I just don't think there's any confidence in who you can pick out or where those targets are going to go. It's just going to be Lamar Jackson on the ground making things happen. He'll throw some balls, but it where it goes is anybody's guess. Mark Andrews is actually the correct guess.
Yeah, the only person I'm playing that's a pass catcher is Mark Andrews.
Seven targets in every single game this season. He is a stud. A little banged up, but he is making it fucking happen.
And Seattle is not good against the tight end, so.
More points for Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson to come. Seahawks side of the ball, Don. Russell Wilson has been electric and will continue to be electric in the matchup here against the Ravens. You're playing Russell Wilson if you own him. Chris Carson. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I was listening to XM Radio this morning on my way into work, and they were talking. It was something like he's had like 27 to 30 touches or something like that almost every week. This season, which is just an incredible amount of volume. And it makes for a no-brain start, right? Despite the fumble history and everything else, they're giving him the rock, and he's a no-brain start here for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been that many attempts. But again, he also is getting a decent amount of targets in the past game as well. So Chris Carson is an every-week starter, even against a pretty solid run defense with Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, 20, whatever, even the last 3 weeks, 22, 27, 24, but the receptions, I mean, he's pretty close. They have 26 to 30. Super pumped on that. Tyler Lockett is going to get matched up with Marlon Humphrey here. I think Humphrey is going to consistently follow Lockett into the slot. We watched him do it, against Juju and Tyler Boyd over the past 2 weeks. He seemed to do a good job here against locking down the number one wide receivers in four shadow dates this season. Sammy Watkins, he did it. OBJ, Juju had 7 for 75 and a touchdown. So he's not a lockdown, but Tyler Boyd 3 for 10 and 0. So I think the expectation of Tyler Lockett has to come back to earth here. I think I'm looking at other options if I have them versus Tyler Lockett this week.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty pumped for DK Metcalf this week. I think with Will Disley, unfortunately being down, which really killed me, DK Metcalf, I think obviously being that big body receiver and Russell Wilson really depending on Will Disley in the red zone is really going to look a lot at DK Metcalf. And obviously with the way that Russell Wilson's been playing, it's a very nice opportunity for DK Metcalf. And I'm cool with playing him in a flex position.
He's averaging a league high 21 yards per reception through 6 weeks. He's one of just 18 players, Don, with at least 7 targets inside the 20-yard line this season. Obviously, you are a new owner of DK Metcalf, courtesy of a trade today. So obviously super pumped on the outlook here as we go into the Week 7 game.
Yeah, you got to stay positive, man, right?
Absolutely, man. Positivity breeds success. So I'm told, at least. Not interested in Luke Wilson to replace Disley. I think it's all DK Metcalf here.
Was that a George Washington quote?
I think Michael Scott said that. But
Sure.
Either way, George good Washington, man. Michael Scott, both good men. They shape the future of this country.
Yeah, believe it or not, I believe that's true.
That's a fact. Anything else on the Seahawks side of the ball, Donnie?
No, man. I think that's who are the fantasy players for this matchup.
All right, let's pick them. I'm taking the Seahawks.
For the sake of an upset, I'm going to go Ravens. With Lamar Jackson just running all over the place.
Which totally possible. We'll split it, Don. Saints versus the Bears, 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff. The Saints are led by my boy Teddy Bridgewater. Wasn't able to carry over his strong Week 5 performance into Week 6, but they did beat the Jaguars. He went 24 of 36. One touchdown, zero picks. He's not fantasy relevant. The only relevance he has is that he can keep Michael Thomas relevant. I actually think Jared Cook is relevant too, but I think that's about it for the receivers.
Yeah. Jared Cook, though, I'm just trying to pull up. He still hasn't practiced, I believe.
Yeah. Scored in consecutive weeks. He's averaging 4.8 targets per game with Bridgewater under center. He's had three targets inside the 10-yard line. Seems to be just as involved as Thomas and Kamara near the goal line. Again, you need that touchdown upside, but I think so far the numbers support that he's worth the rollout for almost five targets a game with the red zone possibility.
Yeah, I'm fine with playing him if he plays.
Totally fair. Did Alvin Kamara practice today?
No. I don't believe he did. Kamara.
Alvin Kamara did not practice, so not great on that. So keep your eyes on it, guys. We'll see if we can get you an update on him. As again, by the time you guys are listening to this anyway, you're going to have an update before we could possibly get you one coming live. But Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara.
So question, if, say, Kamara doesn't go, are you interested in Latavius Murray at all?
No.
I'm not either.
Yeah, against the Bears, it's just not going to be my cup of tea. They are without Akeem Hicks. I still don't think I'm about it, but I think he'd be a running back three if Kamara didn't go. I'd probably put Latavius Murray about a running back three.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, flip side of the ball, Don. Bears, Mitchell Trubisky. Coach Matt Nagy is cautiously optimistic that he will return this week. That does not obviously guarantee the passing offense will take a step forward here against a relatively good Saints defense. Obviously not fantasy. You're not putting Trubisky in your lineup, but for the rest of the offense, I think it's important to note that he could be leading the team. For the running game, you get David Montgomery. He's 37th in fantasy points per game and third worst in yards per carry at 3.26.
Nice.
Ranked top six in fantasy points per game allowed to opposing running backs. Not a great matchup. Not super pumped, obviously, on that. I think it depends on your other options, right? I own him a lot of places. He's not going to be in my lineup in a lot of places. There are other guys I'd rather roll the dice on than against the Saints defense.
Yeah, he's like a low-end flex, low-end RB3.
Yep. No problem with that. I actually would rather roll the dice on Latavius Murray than I would on David Montgomery.
Sure.
So that's where I stand on him. Allen Robinson gets Marshawn Lattimore. He's been fantastic in his high-profile shadow matchups. Amari Cooper held him to 5 for 48. Mike Evans, 0 for 0. DJ Shark, 3 for 43. The good news for Robinson, Don, is that the Saints haven't had Lattimore consistently chase wide receivers into the slot. So they should be able to free up some opportunity for Robinson. He's had about a 35% slot rate so far. But definitely a tough matchup for him for a lot of the game. I think you have to temper expectations for Allen Robinson here.
Great. Yeah. No, I think he's still playable, but I think you hit it on the head with what you should expect from him.
Yeah, just unfortunately you got to be realistic that the matchup just it's what it shows, guys. I have no interest in any of the other pass catchers here.
We don't have to talk about Trey.
Tight end does not matter either. Let's pick this game. I'm going to go with the Saints.
Yeah, I can never pick the Bears, and I need a Saints win. Saints look good. Let's go Saints, man.
All right, baby. Saints sweep it on through. Down the Sunday night game, Eagles versus the Cowboys kicks off at 8:20 p.m. Eastern time. Start on the Eagles side of the ball. Eagers. Let's start on the Eagles side of the ball. I'm tripping
eagerly,
up over
words. Eagerly talking about the Eagles.
Hey, there we go. We'll trip over some more words. Sorry, I'm losing my – I'm all tripped up on the Eagles side of things. Obviously, the team is led by Carson Wentz at the helm, Don. Do you believe that he can do it here against the Cowboys, or are they going to run the shit out of the ball?
Yeah. I'm not sitting Wentz.
Yep, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Carson Wentz can be in your lineups, guys. The running game, unfortunately, becomes the Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, which we talked about before, right? Miles Sanders, you know, you dealt him away earlier today in a deal that did get you DK Metcalf and Zeke. Obviously, some other pieces there. But it's Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I think Jordan Howard's got the edge. But you still see he really doesn't have a bad floor, Miles Sanders. It's not the sexiest flex, but I'm still okay with rolling him out if you need to. And Dallas really hasn't been as dominant as you would think with those linebackers and all that for the running back. So I'm okay if you have to play him this week.
Yep, no problem. Don, DeSean Jackson, they don't expect to play. He'll probably be out another week or two for this offense. Alshon Jeffrey, he's posted 4 for 67 and a touchdown, 4 for 48, and 6 for 50 and a touchdown in 3 full games against the Cowboys since joining the Eagles in 2017. His matchup this week has allowed the sixth most yards per target among cornerbacks that have been targeted at least 10 times this season. Alshon Jeffrey, I think, is an easy no-brain start here against the Cowboys. He's going to be just fine. I think Nelson Aguilar is an interesting guy to look at. I just don't know how you can have any confidence, right? He's got 5 of 11 targets for 62 scoreless yards over the last 3 weeks. He's playing full-time, but he's not finding the end zone, and he's only passed 50 yards in one career matchup out of 7 versus the Cowboys.
He's Nelson Aguilar.
He is who we thought he was.
Right, exactly.
Zach Ertz is a no-brain start. He's in your lineup. He'll get it done. He'll find his way. Dallas Goedert, Don, combined 14 targets over the past 3 weeks while posting snap rates of 69, 74, and 71%. An interesting tight end two guy. I think someone that keep your eye on long term. It's not relevant today for you, but I think it's definitely a name to be mindful of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on the Eagles?
Still need to see a little bit more of Dallas Goedert. I know they were talking about him quite a bit in the preseason and how he could take a bunch of shares for Zach Ertz. But what I will tell you with Zach Ertz is, although he's hit all season or career lows, just know that his target share is still 7, 16, 7, 8, 7, and 9. So the dude has got a target share probably averaging close to 8 to 9. A week, and they're going against Dallas, who's not very good against the tight end. So, divisional rivalry here. I think this is a very nice time to play Zach Ertz, maybe playing with DFS as well.
Yeah. Yep. I have no problem with that call at all. Let's talk Cowboys side of the ball, Don. Dak Prescott, I'm a little bit worried about Dak Prescott if Amari Cooper does not go. His splits with and without Amari Cooper have been a bit concerning. I'm not going to read you through them all, but in his lines in 8 games without Cooper last season, not a ton of great things. 160 for one touchdown, 168 for one touchdown, 183 for 2 touchdowns. You know, I think Michael Gallup has a nice little game here. But just the splits do worry me. He's also struggled without left tackle Tyron Smith. He's got the ankle injury in 2017 when the Cowboys scored 7, 9, 12, and 6 points in the 4 games that Smith played a combined 3 snaps in. Again, we can't make excuses for Dak, but between Amari Cooper and then missing his left tackle and Tyron Smith, just – 2 red flags. Again, I'm still rolling him out here in this matchup personally in a lot of places that I own him. But don't be shocked if things do not go like the Dak of the start of the year.
Yeah, obviously expect a little bit of a lower ceiling for Dak.
Yep.
But enough of a floor where you're not benching him.
100%. Zeke, Don, obviously is a no-brain start. He's in your lineup. Amari Cooper, we don't know, right? Status is reportedly in serious question ahead of Sunday night's divisional showdown. Have an alternative option if you are planning on waiting and seeing on Amari Cooper, although right now it doesn't seem likely he goes. We'll probably know more before then anyway. Randall Cobb has dealing with a hip injury. He's at far less than 100%. I also don't think that's necessarily relevant for your for fantasy guys. But just important to note. And then Michael Gallup is the last man standing, dare I say. I mean, you got some other pieces there, but I think he's really the only – him and Jason Witten, the only other two guys that are really worth the conversation. The Eagles secondary has just been brutal, right? Giving up the most fantasy points per game to outside wide receivers, and this time by a whopping 30% more than the next closest team. Whether Amari Cooper goes or not, Gallup's as a must start. He obviously bumps up if he's the wide receiver one. And could be a cheaper DFS play. I don't know what he's priced at, but depending on what the Amari Cooper situation is. Jason Witten, found 5 for 57 last week and 7 targets, which is a season high for him. He played over 80% of the offensive snaps. Also not a bad tight end match, tight end option here against a bad Eagles secondary. Dak Prescott is going to be missing Amari Cooper. We know he likes his tight end across the middle.
Yeah, I think Jason Witten is – I think there's a few guys out there that you could probably stream over him, but I actually have streamed Jason Witten this week. I think this is a good week to roll him out. Obviously not the sexiest thing, but other than last week with the 7 targets, he has actually gotten exactly 4 targets every game. So at least he's getting targets. He could see red zone. He has that red zone potential as well. So this is really not the worst time to stream and play Jason Witten.
Don, let's pick him. I'm taking the Cowboys.
I'm going Eagles.
All right. We've got another split on our hands, guys. And the Monday night game, the Patriots versus the Jets, kicking off.
Who did this scheduling, by the way, where we're going to put back-to-back Patriots on prime time of Thursday night football and Monday night football against two trash-ass New York teams? Really, dude? Like, that's what we have to watch twice?
That's it, man. That's it. We have no choice. The NFL gods have spoken. Roger Goodell has spoken.
Can we skip all of this?
Can we skip all of this?
Well, actually, there's things to hit, so it just – whatever.
You're frustrated, Don. It's okay. I understand. Fans are frustrated. We understand.
Yeah, it should just be the Packers every week.
Patriots, Jets, Monday Night Football, 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Kickoff here, Don. The Patriots, Tom Brady, play. Sony Michel, play. Josh Gordon is unlikely to play with multiple injuries personally.
Also not doing shit.
No, but he's unlikely to play either way. Julian Edelman must start. When he played the Jets in week 3, he saw 10 targets and totaled 19.2 fantasy points in just 2 quarters of action before leaving with an injury. The Jets rank bottom 10 in fantasy points per game and allowed to slot wide receivers. Big, big week coming for Julian Edelman.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been an every week starter for sure.
Anything else on the Patriots side of the ball? I think it's easy.
No, I think those are the guys that you're rolling out. Nothing else you need to be cute about.
Just Jets side of the ball, Sam Darnold. Good for the Jets to be back, not fantasy relevant for us.
Agreed.
Le'Veon Bell, if you own him, he's in your lineup.
Agreed.
Robbie Anderson gets Stephon Gilmore. Bill Belichick and company have shut down Anderson literally every chance they have had over the years. I've got the stats in front of me, and he's got one performance over 35 yards from 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. This is a brutal matchup for Anderson, and he can go and sit on their bench.
Agreed. I honestly think the only person that might be interesting to play is Herndon.
Yeah, I do worry about do they limit his snap count? What happens? We got to see if they officially clear him anyway. But
right, he's still hurt. Yeah, no, never mind. And no, Patriots are very good against tight end. Never mind. Don't play anybody except Le'Veon Bell.
I actually think, Don, I'm gonna put it out there. Jamison Crowder has a not bad matchup in the slot against the Patriots here. We saw D.D. Westbrook 4 for 82 and a touchdown. Cole Beasley 7 for 75. Golden Tate 6 for 69. you know, when matched up with Jonathan Jones dating back to last season. So if you want a DFS play, I'm not putting him in my season-long lineup. I think just another interesting name that matchup-wise, especially against Jonathan Jones, might be able to get you some cheap points.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's fine. I'm not going to do it, but sure.
I appreciate you patronizing me. Don, let's pick it. I'm going to take the New England Patriots.
Sweep it.
Sweep it on through, guys. That is going to do it for us here on the Week 7 Fantasy Preview, guys. That's part two. Part one dropped to you guys live Friday morning. So if you missed that, go back, check it out. If you haven't already, start sending in your questions, guys. We're going to put our usual story post up on Instagram for you to submit. DM us, send us emails, tweets, whatever. I will forewarn you, Instagram has been our biggest response platform. So if you really want to make sure your question gets in, you've got to find us there because that is where we're getting 50 to 100 questions out within the last hour before game time. So buckle in, boys. Don, anything for the people?
IG, it's our platform of responses, man.
That's it, platform of responses. So, guys, if you want a response from the DON personally, you hit us up on Instagram, and we'll make sure we get them on there for you guys. But for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, he is the DON. I am Nick Schreck. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.